blessing. Brother Ronnie Tullis is here with us this week to preach to us. And I want to encourage you to listen to him with your heart and with your mind. But ask God to speak to you this morning. Brother Ronnie, you come.
Amen. Years that I've been coming here, and it's been a long time, because when I first started coming, Brother Tim was young and good looking, so you can look at him and tell how long it's been. But anyhow, I enjoy coming, and it's always good to see y'all's faces, and I love you folks. It's a joy to come to Branch, Arkansas, and every time I come, I know that folks are going to love me in spite of myself. Amen. And so it's good to be here. God's been doing a good work. I was down in Louisiana week before last, and God really blessed us down there. We went back close to where I'm from. We went to Colfax, Louisiana, and went out on the streets and had a whole bunch of folks saved. One of y'all's guys, Chris Russell, came and brought some of his church members, and they helped us on the streets. And boy, it was good. And the sweetest thing about it was that my son Luke was with me, but not only was my son Luke with me, but we were with my dad. Amen. And so there were three generations of us out on the street soul winning, trying to win folks to Jesus. And we had over 60 that came to Christ. And then God opened the door while I was there to go into a public high school. And the principal was a Christian, and a lot of the teachers were Christian. And so she said, "Brother Ronnie, just preach whatever God tells you." And so I preached Jesus. And we had over 100 of those high school students that gave their hearts to the Lord. Amen. And we had over 200 for the week that got saved. And my son's testimony, folks are still getting saved. And I showed some pictures of my oldest son and showed pictures of him and his fiance. And I believe I've done that here in the past, but showed pictures of the car that they were in when the drunk driver hit them. And I showed his memorial, and I told him, I said, "You know, I taught my son a lot, but the most important thing I taught him was to be ready to die." And we were having a youth night, and I said, when I walked up to his coffin, I didn't say goodbye. I said, "See you later." And I said, "If someone were to walk up to your coffin, would they say goodbye, or would they say, 'See you later'?" And we had 19 students that gave their hearts to the Lord at that youth rally at church. So anyway, the fishing's good. Yesterday we had a work day at the Inner City Outreach Center in Memphis, and a young lady that's been coming in, she prayed to receive Christ about a month ago, but she didn't get it because she told Miss Beth that she wasn't saved, she told Miss Martha that she wasn't saved, and then Brother Keith Budlong, who's one of our good friends and helps us teach the men's Bible study on Thursday nights. Am I okay?
Probably not.
Am I okay now? Glory to God. I was live a while ago, brother. I'm glad they didn't have it up because I was singing. We would have emptied the house out. Hallelujah. But anyway, this young lady came in yesterday, and Brother Keith went over to her and started witnessing to her, and she told him she wasn't saved, and he took 2.5 hours, him and another lady, witnessing to her, and she prayed to receive Christ. And the lady said, "Tell me your name again." And she said, "I don't like my name." And she said, "Well, what is it?" And she said, "It's Red Rum." And her mama and daddy named her Red Rum. That's her given name. And she said, "I want to change it." They said, "Well, what do you want to change it to?" And she said, "Well, God loves me. I'd like to change it to something about love." And Brother Keith started naming different words for love, and he said the Italian amore, and she said, "That's it. I'm going to change my name to amore." So anyway, I had talked to her the other day, and I said a couple of weeks ago, and she told me she's 24 years old. She said she was living with her dad next door, and I had not seen her in there, and she just started coming in recently. And so anyway, I was talking to her, and she said that she got pregnant when she was a teenager and had a little boy. When he got to be 2 years old, he got a lung disease and died. And health care isn't very good for poor people in Memphis. And so she got pregnant again, had a little girl. And when her girl was 6 months old, her sister-in-law murdered her. So she said that that same year, both of her brothers were shot to death. And by the same guy, by a dope dealer. Killed both of them. And she said, "Brother Ronnie, I come in here and everybody thinks that I'm okay." She said, "But I'm dying on the inside." She said, "I'm hurting so bad I can't hardly stand it." And so we just tried to love on her and help her and try to be a blessing to her. And you know, a lot of times we think, boy, we've got it bad. And then you meet somebody like that. She's only 24 years old. She's already gone through such heartache. And but hallelujah, God saved her yesterday. And there really is a new name written down in glory. Amen. Amen. And it's hers. Mine's there too, but hers is too. Amen. So anyhow, thank you all for supporting us in Memphis. Thank you all for helping us. And when you get to heaven, somebody's going to walk up to you and say, "You don't know me, but my name's Amore." Amen. Amen. It's going to be good. Well, I've been thinking a lot about revival here lately. And about what it means and what God's taught me in the last 36 years. I've been doing witnessing and preaching on the streets ever since God saved me 36 years ago. And I've been doing revivals for, I guess, 34 years. A couple of years after God saved me, He called me to preach. And I've been thinking about revival. And where it comes from, what it is. Someone said one time that revival is just falling in love with Jesus fresh and anew. And I believe that's a pretty good definition. And I believe that God's people need to fall back in love with Jesus. I believe we've fallen out of love. I believe we've left our first love. We don't love Jesus the way we ought to. We don't serve Him the way we ought to. We don't do the things that we used to do for the Lord. We don't think about Him the way we used to. And we need revival. And I mean, you look around the country and you know that we need revival. All you have to do is look at the two presidential candidates and you say, boy, we need revival in our country. And you don't vote for one. You just, one or the other, you just vote against somebody. And so anyway, there's nobody to vote for. But anyway, we need revival. And I've been thinking about where it comes from. Now, you know, we can pray. We can do everything that the Word of God says. But revival ultimately comes from God. Amen? Why is it so important to know that? Because if we're saying, I can pray enough, I can repent enough, I can do all these things enough to have revival, then we could say that we did it. Does that make sense? We have to understand that God and God alone sends revival. If revival comes, it will be because God sends it. I believe that at this point in the life of the churches and at this point in the life of our country, I believe that we've been praying wrong. I believe, you know, we've been praying saying, God, send revival to America. God, send revival to our church. And I don't think that that's the way that we need to pray. I believe we need to pray and say, God, send revival to me. Send it to me. And if enough people personally and individually will say, God, send revival to me, well, then you can say that you had revival in the church. And if enough people in the church begin to pray and say, God, send revival to me, then you can say that God would send revival to the community because it will spread throughout the community. Have you ever heard of a building being on fire and folks not wanting to go and see what's going on? See, when a church is on fire, you won't have to paint the town to get them to come in. When a church is on fire, everybody's going to come to see what's going on. But revival, when it comes, comes individually and personally to each and every one. I can't pray and say, God, revive Brother Tim, revive Brother Tim. But I can pray and say, God, revive me. Remember the song we used to sing? It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord. We're not wanting to fess up and say, God, it's me. I'm the problem. Ai did not defeat Israel. Achan defeated Israel. Remember? They marched around Jericho and the walls fell down. They went to Ai and Ai defeated them. Little bitty Ai. Because Achan had taken the Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold and the pieces of silver. And he hid them under his bedroll, under his sleeping bag. And because of that, Israel suffered defeat. And the church will have defeat if someone in the church is saying, no, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. You've heard the scripture, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Did you know that there is in italics? That means it was added in there by the translators. That verse says, the fool has said in his heart, no, God. God says, I want you to do this. No, God. I want you to witness. No, God. I want you to go on a mission trip. No, God. I want you to have daily quiet times with by yourself. No, God. I want you to have daily devotionals with your family. No, God. So you see, it's me. It's a personal thing when revival comes. And if enough people will get right and allow God to do what He wants to do in their life, then you can say that the church has had revival. Just about everywhere I go, there are some, it might just be one or two, that get revived. Sometimes it's more than that. Only a few times have I seen church-wide revival. But it was always because the majority of the folks decided, we want to be what God wants us to be. And only twice have I seen that go into a regional revival. One time I was a church member. The second time I was preaching down in Mississippi. And both times it spread and became a regional revival. And God's Word says in Psalm 80 verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's the first Bible verse that I memorized. The first Bible verse I memorized after I got saved was Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. But I was a lost man. And there was a red light on the way to the beer store. And right across from that red light was a big billboard. And the Assembly of God Church had put 2 Chronicles 7:14 on it. And every time I stopped at that red light, I read a little bit of it. And I memorized 2 Chronicles 7:14. But you stop and think about that for a minute. That verse is so full, and that verse tells us what the problem is today. It says, if my people who are called by my name, and it's not the world, it's not the liberals, it's not the homosexuals, it's not those who are stirring up strife in our cities across America that are the problem. The problem is the church. God said, if my people who are called by my name, those who name the name of Christ, those who say, I'm a Christian. And we know that there are many antichrists in the church. And the antichrist is simply somebody who's against Christ. Somebody who's anti-God. And you say, well, who's that, Brother Ronnie? Well, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And we have a lot of lost people in the church. Billy Graham says 80% of our Southern Baptist church members are lost. Adrian Rogers says closer to 90%. Most of our Southern Baptist church members are lost. That means they're antichrist. They have the spirit of antichrist. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Now listen, he that gathereth not scattereth abroad. That tells me that one of the evidences of someone being an Antichrist is they don't witness. I just made some folks mad at me. I'm not preaching on witnessing this morning. But God said, if my people who are called by my name, listen, Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 31 and 32. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Now listen, have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Because my people say, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. He said, my people are saying, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Let me put that in today's language. I can handle everything on my own, God. I don't need you. This isn't a big deal. I can handle it on my own. That's what that's saying. He says, have I been a wilderness that you don't come to me in the little things? He said, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her wedding gown? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. How many days has it been since you've gotten up in the morning before you went to work? Spent some time with God. My people have forgotten me days without number, day after day after day. You know why I know that's so evident? You know why I know that that's so common? I hear people and I hear them talk about it and they say, honey, have you seen my Bible? Well, I don't know. Where'd you have it? That's where I had it at church last Sunday. They go all week without spending time with God, without opening their Bible so God can speak to their heart. Say, Brother Ronnie, I thought you loved us. I do. Woman told Freddie Gay, said, Preacher, you're supposed to be a shepherd, and a shepherd feeds his flock. All you've been doing is skinning us. He said, sweet lady, you feed live sheep, but you skin dead ones. If the blade is cutting, maybe God's the one doing the cutting. Amen. But God says, listen, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt Him. Micah 6:3, this breaks my heart. It says, O my people, what have I done unto thee? How have I wearied you? Testify against me. God says, what have I done? What have I done to you? Jesus said, what did I do that you don't love me? What have I done? And I, out of all of my creation, you're the only thing I created and made in my image. I didn't do that with anything else, just you. I created you for myself. Like myself, in my image. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you when you were wrong. I commended my love towards you. And while you were yet sinners, I died for you. What have I done to you to cause you not to love me? How have I wearied you? Why do you get so tired of serving me? Every revival I preach, Sunday morning, it's usually packed out. Monday and Tuesday, it's half. Folks are weary. They don't want to spend time with God. What have I done? Jesus says, God says, if my people, I'm the problem, you're the problem. Brother Tim, you're the problem. One of the sweetest people I know, Miss Susie, you're the problem. Everybody with me? Amen. It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, say, well, why do we need to humble ourselves? Well, look at what we've done so far. We've got to realize that God doesn't need us. In Acts 17, you've heard me use this so many years, but Scripture says that God is not worshipped with man's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and everything. God doesn't need us. There's nothing about Ronnie Tullis that God needs. There's nothing about First Baptist Church of Branch that God needs. Ronnie Tullis, First Baptist Church of Branch, we need God. Amen? He does not need us. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Psalm 138:6, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Isaiah 2:12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Proverbs 16:5, for everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pride is simply saying, I can handle it on my own. Remember, I told you what Clyde Cranford taught me that time. He asked me a question and I couldn't answer it. And I've asked that question to guys that were had earned doctorates, had PhDs, THDs. None of them answered it correctly. I asked Brother Tim the first time. He couldn't answer it correctly. I said, why do we sin? And when he asked me that, I went into a long theological. He said, no, that's not it. We sin because we don't love God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And a friend of mine said, it's because we don't love God the way we ought to. I said, Jesus didn't say, if you love me the way you ought to, you'll keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we sin because we don't love God. And he said, well, why don't we love God? Because we don't spend time with Him. See, when we spend time with Him, He loves on us. Scripture says that we love Him because He first loved us. When we spend time with Him, He loves us and our love for Him grows. Everybody with me so far? This means yes and this means no. Everybody with me? All right, we sin because we don't love God. We don't love God because we don't spend time with Him. We don't spend time with Him because we don't think we need Him. Again, we get up in the morning and we head out without having a quiet time. I can handle it on my own today, God. And why don't we think we need Him? Because we're proud and full of ourselves. Humility says, God, I can't do it. Humility says, God, I'm nothing. Humility says, I'm weak and you're strong. Humility says, God, may your strength be made perfect in my weakness. Humility says, if anything happens good, God is the one who's going to have to do it. Humility says, God, show me what you want me to do. Because I'm tired of doing it on my own. I've made a mess of it. My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. And pray. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know something that I've noticed? There's a lot of praying for revival. There's not a whole lot of revival going on. I think people are substituting prayer for obedience. I think people are saying, well, if I pray enough, I'll be okay. But he said, if you will pray and seek my face. And again, Jesus said, you shall search for me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart. And a lot of our worship is half-hearted. We give God our scraps and think that's okay. I go to church on Sunday morning. God, what else you want? Remember the verse? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with me in glory. He wants to be our life. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. He doesn't want to just be relegated to a second-class citizen. He doesn't want our scraps. And we pray. Prayer meeting, we'll have prayer requests. We'll say, oh, pray for Sister so-and-so. She's sick. Or Brother so-and-so's got arthritis. Or this family over here, pray for them. And I got an unspoken. Name it. Ravenhill told a guy they were having a prayer meeting. And he told the guy, they all prayed except one guy. He said, I can't pray. He said, get out on your knees and confess your sins. He said, I can't think of any. He said, well, guess at them. He guessed right the first time. We just don't want to admit it, right? We don't want to admit it. We don't want to articulate it to God. But tell God. Tell God what He already knows. Just tell God what it is. Say, God, I'm struggling with it. God, I've got a stronghold in this. You know, most of the men in here are adulterers. I'm glad you're right there, Brother Tim. Keep these guys from rushing me. Bible says that if a man lusts after a woman with his eyes, he's committed adultery in his heart. God, forgive me. Confess your sins one to another. Don't just be general. Don't be general. Find somebody that loves you and confess it to them. We'll pray. Seek His face earnestly. God, all I want is You. I don't want what I want. I want You, God. I want what You want. And when God is all we want, then we can have Him. Amen? But He doesn't want anything to come between us and Him. And then the key is to turn from our wicked ways. Quit praying and start obeying. Do what God tells you to do. Is anything on this earth worth not being right with God? One who loves you with an immeasurable love. The one who's seen you on your worst day and still loves you. The one who knows you better than you know yourself, and He loves you. He wants to have fellowship with you. Is anything on this earth worth keeping that from happening? No. There are two kinds of people in this building this morning. I'm sorry, there's one kind. We're all slaves. But there's two kinds of slaves in this building this morning. You're either a slave to Jesus or you're a slave to the devil. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not scattereth abroad. You say, well, how am I a slave to the devil, Brother Ronnie? In 1 Peter, the Bible says that we're to win those out of the snare of the devil. Now listen. Who are taken captive by him at his will. That means that the devil can take a lost man and make him do anything he wants to. Have you ever done something when you did it, you didn't want to do it? You knew you shouldn't do it. You hated the fact that you were doing it, but you did it anyway. The devil takes us captive at his will if we don't belong to Jesus. There's two kinds of slaves. And you've got to make the decision today. Who do I want to be a slave to? Do I want to be a slave to the one that loved me and died for me? Do I want to be a slave to the one who's come to steal, kill, and destroy? Do I want to be a slave to the one who hates me? It says, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. See, God forgives the sin. God heals the land. And so, if revival comes today, it will come to the individual. Folks being saved is a byproduct of revival. If enough folks get revived this week, make the decision, God, you're all I want. God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, whatever, whenever, however. God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to fall back in love with you. If enough people do that, then we can say that there was revival at Branch Baptist Church. Otherwise, it'll just be some mercy drops falling. Amen. Let me just say again, I love you. Somebody said, be worried when the preacher says he loves you. But I really do. And it's an absolute privilege for me to be at Branch Baptist Church, because there's so many folks here that I love. And thank God for you. But I'm not going to stand before God for you. I can't. You'll stand before God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know, God, that if revival comes today, it'll be because you send it. I think we all know that now. And God, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, there are folks in here right now who are saying to themselves, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what Brother Ronnie was talking about. I've never felt that way about God. I've never felt the need to witness or for Christ to be my life. I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now you would speak to their hearts and show them that they've missed it somewhere. That God, if they've never fallen in love with you, God, more than anything, they've never been saved. And I ask, oh God, that you would just speak to their hearts. It's not about being a church member. It's not about attending regularly. Lord Jesus, it's about a relationship with you. And I pray that you'll show them that, God, and give them grace to give their hearts and lives to you. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here this morning, you say, Brother Ronnie, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Brother Ronnie, I want Jesus to wash my sins away. I want Him to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. I want to know God. I want to know Jesus more than anything. Nobody loves me like Jesus, and I want to be able to love Him. I want to know Him. If that's your heart's desire more than anything, then I ask you just to pray a simple prayer with me right now. Just pray something like this. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. I ask you to come into my heart, wash away my sins, and cover me with your righteousness. All I want is you, Jesus. Be the Lord of my life. Lead, guide, and direct me. And give me grace to go and do. Be obedient to you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for dying for me, and for coming into my heart.